cars,
super late models,
thunder cars,
modifies,
World of Outlaws,
ARCA,
it's all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, fame, short tracks.
All the way to the high banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Here's your host, live from the Racetime Radio studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr., right here in the RTR studio. We got a great guest lineup for you tonight. Hope you're ready to have some fun. That's what we're going to do over the next 2 hours. We're going to talk racing. We're going to have some fun. And that's what's in order there. Junior, what's going on?
Man, it's just it's a different world we're living in.
Yeah.
we live crazy. In a different place, don't we?
Yeah, it is.
It's definitely a I'm not telling anything that nobody doesn't know already, but, man, it's, you know, today was the first kind of normal feeling watching NASCAR on TV on a Sunday.
For 2 hours, right?
For 2 hours, we felt normal. Now, it feels pretty normal to be in the studio.
It does. Yeah.
You know, we're in the studio. Normal. This feels normal. It's weird, though, when things just feel normal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's it's such a different feeling. Just kind of everybody's feeling it. I know, you know, talking to, you know, crew guys, to racers, to, you know, just people. Everybody's just kind of in limbo, waiting,
I know.
And just a very unique time, that's for sure. And just a, you know, it's very surreal and odd. And, you know, watching today's iRacing show, it was really cool to see.
I would say so, yep.
NASCAR on Fox and that whole team and iRacing did a phenomenal bang-up job. And really, NASCAR used to be just strictly about giving the fans an experience that they would rave about.
Mm-hmm.
And I, scrolling through Twitter, this is like the key to resonating with the fans.
Well, there was
today.
Nothing else happening.
No,
I
realize so that. There's, you know,
let's give it that.
But what a great job to collaborate and bring the entire racing community together. Because I think that, you know, and it's not just NASCAR on Fox. Speed 51, of course, did the Rattler 250. There's Formula One is doing this very similar thing with using iRacing and then as well using their console game.
World of Outlaws
and NHL is doing
it.
Yeah, NHL is doing a similar thing. World of Outlaws is going to be doing it. It's cool, though, because we have the ability to enjoy the greats of our sport and see them in a place where they are extremely vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen Jimmy Johnson today, you know, really step on his own tail. You know, just and struggle with it, right? And struggle with everything to do with iRacing. But then you see guys like Timmy Hill, and you see guys like, you know, of course, William Byron was really good today. And
Smedley was right.
Yeah,
up
Garrett
there.
Smedley was awesome. Parker Kligerman. And the list goes on of, you know, surprise names that you don't see when they're in a car. They're not necessarily in the top-notch equipment, and they don't get to showcase their talents. But I think a lot of people got a chance to see some guys, cheer for some guys that they don't normally see up front and get some TV time. And I secretly hope, and you know, obviously watching real racing is better than watching simulation racing.
Right. Yeah.
But I enjoyed today for what it was, outside of the fact that there was nothing else going on.
Right.
If there was a real NASCAR race on and there was a simulation race on, I'm watching the real NASCAR race.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, everybody is.
Right.
That being said, there's no reason why this type of deal can't be on a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
You know, I would watch it on a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
I think that
for the masses, though, I don't think they would. Pay-per-view or online presence or something like that, yes, I would say. But, you know, it was great. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I didn't think I was going to enjoy it as much as I did, but I got to hand it to him. It was good.
A place where I really want to see them race, and I think everybody that does iRacing would echo. A place where I would really like to see them go out and do it again is Daytona or Talladega.
Yeah.
Talladega, absolutely. You know, with iRacing, I've watched, you know, streams of the professional iRacing series, you know, the esports version of NASCAR on iRacing.
Mm.
I've watched them put on a show at Daytona and Talladega, and it is like watching Daytona or Talladega. Because you have
it.
The bump draft, you have the draft, you have the, you know, they're working together. It at a place like Homestead on iRacing, I've tried it. Mile and a half style tracks. Very difficult to get a hold of. You can't just jump in and be good at it.
Those guys were good at it today. What was it? Nine cautions.
But they put a tremendous amount of hours and logged a tremendous amount of laps to get as good as they were.
Well, you don't want to look like a donkey on FS1 nationally, right?
Exactly. But, you know, looking at today's show, I think it did exactly what it was intended to do. It was good on. I think everybody that watched it. Had a smile on their face.
Yep.
It was a little bit of normalcy. I think Mike Joy and Jeff Gordon and Larry Mack did a phenomenal job with how they called it.
It sounded just like a Sunday race.
If you shut your eyes, it sounded exactly like you were watching a race from Homestead.
Yep.
They did a great job with that. You know, it's neat how everything came together. And obviously, you know, the feel-good stories, Denny Hamlin, you know, donating
winning
the
it.
Money.
Yes.
Fox Sports donating money. There was three of them. NASCAR, I believe. NASCAR matched the money. It ended up being $6,400 times three towards the NASCAR Foundation, which is, of course, going to feed some kids and you know, support the COVID-19 issues.
Right.
So, good on them for that. And I, you know, while there is downtime, if it is on again next weekend, I will watch it.
Me too. And I think a lot more people will.
I think a lot more people will as well.
Anybody that missed it today
and
reads or hears about it will probably be definitely tuned in next week.
Yeah, and, you know, it's ongoing. It'll be interesting to see. You know, with every downturn, there's a winner that comes out the other side.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter if it's a Great Depression, if it's a war, there's somebody that's profiting from it. Not profiting from it.
Wins.
Somebody there's a win from every loss.
Right.
And in this case, what an opportunity for sim and e-racing to step to the forefront, you know, kind of captivate the audience. I think every racer understood that iRacing was there.
Yeah.
But I bet there's a lot more people ordering sim rigs now.
I bet you there is.
You know,
too.
Like after
when
watching
you see it, the graphics are incredible.
It's as good as you can get without spending $150,000 and going and building a car.
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
It's just really cool. And it's fun and intriguing for the audience to be able to take it in.
Well, I hate to be a Debbie Downer, but I was asked before that race actually started, is it going to be on TSN?
Yeah.
Is it going to be on TSN? And I didn't know how to answer it because I didn't know the answer other than I highly doubt it, but you never know, right? Thinking that that's our connection in Canada to NASCAR. It wasn't on TSN. It wasn't on TSN. Thankfully, Shaw Direct Television now, we can get Fox Racing, which is just like our old Speed Channel for anybody up here in Canada. They've actually even got some of the old promos running in it today that used to run back then.
Yep.
But it was refreshing to have a live Fox Sports feed here at the house.
Yeah, it was
definitely
cool.
Very nice.
For sure. And I imagine there's broadcasting rights and all. There's a whole pile of reasons why it wasn't on TSN. And it could have even been
darts were on or something.
Something like that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Or SportsCenter had to run again.
Yeah.
We've seen that where they've short-ended the end of a race, not the race itself, but the interview part of it. They've dead-ended it and gone to the fourth replay of the day of SportsCenter where they could have continued on and watched it. I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway.
Yep. But when you look at the overall you know, showings of the day. I think it was really cool. I think we're going to, you know, be able to pull some normalcy.
Yes.
And then kind of, you know, on the same topic, but not talking about iRacing in general, but talking about NASCAR, are you finding it interesting that they are talking about still finishing 36 races?
Yeah.
And
I don't know that how conversation, they're
that conversation is so incredible to me, and it's incredibly intriguing, and I think that there are a ton of opinions out there that this has been doable for years.
Mm.
And
get the same number of races in a shorter window?
Yeah. I think that, you know,
pressure is going to be on, man. How else are you going to do it? You've only got so many weeks. Let's just say this all ends in a month's time. If it ends a month's time, we're going to be, what, five races short of where we should have been. And if they're going to make them up, I heard Moody talking about it on 90.
Yeah, racing.
Mike and Pete, they were saying, you know, potential's got to be there to either run like double races while you're at a track,
yeah,
or how about a midweek race? If they did that, it would mean running Sunday and then Wednesday in another location.
And then Sunday.
And then Sunday again.
Well, I think, so there's three Saturday nights through the middle portion. So you kind of buy a day there,
right,
with the Saturday shows, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, and then there was also the plan 2 weeks, right? There was 2 weeks or a week off,
right,
in there. So obviously that would get gobbled up. But really, fundamentally, the Wednesday night shows wouldn't scare me at all, even you know, working for the teams down there,
right?
Really, you know, there are points in time in the season where,
depending on geographically where they are,
yeah, you can't go from California to Charlotte to Bristol or whatever
on a Wednesday,
however that works out.
Yeah.
But you know, there are plenty of weeks in there in the schedule where you could race Saturday, Wednesday, Sunday,
right?
And make a couple of them one day shows. One day shows would be great.
Sure.
I honestly think you would see some great racing with,
yep,
one day shows and
save
Cup.
The team some money
and
as well.
And you know, show up, do your race, and you know, move on to the next
rock and roll.
So really, but I find it very intriguing, the amount of input that NASCAR is taking, obviously from the teams, from the fans, on that. Obviously, canceling shows would be hugely detrimental.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. The market loses.
I think that, you know, if, when this whole deal is over, if they do flex in some Wednesday shows in there, first time ever, you know, for primetime television through the week shows,
yep,
for the big dogs, you know, and I think some of the best TV numbers, you know, are Wednesday nights with the truck series, Wednesday night at Eldora.
Yeah.
I think that the success of that event alone states the fact that you can run a Wednesday night show.
Should be able to,
with,
yep,
the Cup Series. And, you know, when you look at the overall grand scheme of things on scheduling, I honestly feel that it would be a win for NASCAR to be able to do that. And, you know, moving forward into the future, a shorter season with the equal amount of dates would be a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, the amount of downtime that these teams get is not enough to get prepared.
No.
You know, when they shut the doors at Homestead at the end of the year, every single year, they are already working on the Daytona car. They're already working on the Western Swing cars.
Oh, yeah, they're ahead, right?
They're ahead
they
by
gotta
a lot.
They got to be 3-4 weeks ahead.
But the big teams are the only ones that are ahead.
Right.
And the small teams just can't keep their head above water because they need to get ready for the Western Swing, for Daytona,
right,
immediately after the beginning of the or the Homestead race.
Well, so, this may sound stupid, but maybe this little break in the action here is going to help those smaller teams,
yeah,
be
think
able
it
to
will
prepare more.
I think it will. And when you look at you know, the bigger teams, so JGR and Hendrick and RCR, all those big teams, their shops are effectively closed right now.
Yeah.
The smaller teams, they're used to working with one guy in the shop.
Right.
They're used to working with
two, yep,
or three guys in the shop. And the doors are still open in those places. to a certain degree,
right.
Obviously, you know, and governed by what the CDC and what the local government and all of those things are allowing.
Right.
And, you know, the JGR teams, it's not like because of this, they just shut it off in their mind.
Right.
But I do feel that this little break, as you know, not little break, this is a big thing. But
and it could
this,
be a really long one.
Yeah,
we
absolutely.
Don't know.
But the break in action, you know, it isn't. It is helpful to the smaller teams to a certain degree. Changes how they operate
yeah.
and changes how they get parts and how they get deliveries and all of those things. But I do feel that those smaller teams are still working. They're still got their nose to the grindstone. They're keeping their family safe, but they're working hard at it. And I think that they're going to come out a little bit stronger.
Well, we'll have to wait and find out. We'll talk more about that a little bit later in the show. Let me tell you who we got coming up before I hit this first break and we get our first guest up on the hotline. Tonight, we're going to talk to some NASCAR Pinty's drivers. Haven't had any of our national tour guys on. We've got LP Dumoulin going to come up on the show, a two-time champion in the NASCAR Pinty Series. And speaking of champions, former champions, how about DJ Kennington? He is going to join the show in his Castrol Edge Dodge. And then we're going to catch up with Tim Terry. Timmy was down south. He's been up here. He's back home now out in Nova Scotia. And he's been doing a lot with the iRacing stuff, as he has over the last few years. He'll have some Pro Stock Tour news, I can well imagine. And we'll just generally catch up with Tim Terry tonight from timscorner.ca. And we're going to have some time to open the phone lines to take your calls, too. Be interesting to hear what you have to say these days and what you're doing to occupy time and to do a little stress relief. And I know that's what we're going to mainly be talking to our guests about tonight. We'll find out how they are spending some of this time because everybody's going to be going stir crazy here soon. And we'll find out how to not go stir crazy with some of the best here on Racetime Radio. We are going to hit this break, and on the other side, it's going to be LP Dumoulin with us live tonight.
This is Dave McCullough, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM. Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tilt Load, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the insight of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Cheap Trick guitarist Rick Nielsen on Canada Talks.
The 17 albums of all different stuff, and we've never stopped touring. We never expected to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We never expected something for nothing. You know, we spent our own money making our records, too, you know, and we did it, and we listened to people.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, Sirius XM Channel 167, and on demand with the Sirius XM app.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on and
boom.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Baby, baby.
Hear rare interviews and performances.
Oh,
concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJ. DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to meet you.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM Channel 20.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
And welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. Joe Chisholm along with Junior here in the RTR studio. And it is time to go to the hotline. And what do you say we bring in? How about a two-time champion in the NASCAR Penske Series? Guy drives the number 47 WeatherTech Dodge. And he's a lot of fun. I can guarantee you that out of Quebec. Let's welcome in LP Dumoulin. What's going on there, LP? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. About you guys?
Fantastic, my friend. I've been watching you. I follow you on Twitter, LP, and watching some of the videos you're doing, I can see you're not going crazy in the house. You're out having a little bit of fun.
We're trying to. Actually, thank you guys for having me tonight, because that took me out of the dishes duty I had to do. So here we go. My wife's taking care of it right now.
Yeah. Oh, incredible. LP, you got some good videos happening there. You're creative.
Oh, well, we have to. I mean, in those days, I mean, I think it's rough for everybody right now. And we're hanging there trying to follow all the rules and the good things to do in those situations. And proud of my guys. I mean, everybody at the moment in competition take it really seriously. And the guys at WeatherTech as well, was talking with them this week, and everybody's doing good, and things are good. Ben Maher, same thing over here.
The videos that you're taking and posting on Facebook and Twitter and across the board, what I would like you to do is go into the shop and lift the hood and video underneath the hood just to see what you're working with for 2020 on that 47 car.
Yeah.
I know that you're still spending time in the shop at some point.
Yeah, I mean, we do, like JF, my brother and I mean, we keep an eye on, you know, all the good things that we need to get done. But everybody has worked a lot over the winter before that whole deal with the virus. But, no, I mean, the guys have been working like relentlessly, and then it just can't wait to get back on track and test that 47 car, because we've done a lot on it. And we think we found a lot of stuff, but again, until we get on track and we get, you know, to dice with other cars, we don't know yet if it's going to be exactly what we think, but we're very excited, that's for sure.
What exactly did you find? He's not gonna.
No, his seat was too far back.
He
his
paused.
Seat was too far back in the car, so he had to move his seat ahead. And the radio wasn't working just perfect. He's got the radio all dialed in.
Yeah. The whole problem was in between the seat and the steering wheel. No, I mean, we did a lot of good stuff. We went to McHall. Everybody knows that Mike McHall is a celebrity. He does well. And we went on the pull down rig, and we did a lot of good call, and again, we like to lean on a lot of people we've been dealing with in the past and asking for, you know, little things here and there, because we know in racing it evolves so much so quickly. Last year we had a great season. I mean, finishing third with the WeatherTech Benmar car, and then I think it was a decent year, but at the end on oval, we were trying a lot of different things, and then obviously it didn't work exactly the way we wanted. But still, sometimes you go a different way, you try things, it doesn't work, that tells you that that's not the trick. And then that's what we've done at the end of the season last year, but still had a couple wins there, and it was a very good season. So now we're very excited with what we think could be very effective for the 2020 season. So just can't wait to hit the track and go test and make it better, you know.
Well, and it's a well-known fact, as Cliff Clavin would say on Cheers, it's a well-known fact that
that's
you
an
have
old
to.
Reference. You, that's an old reference.
Listen, I watched CACH. I was watching Cheers the other night, and I heard him say it. It's a well-known fact, though, that you have to turn the wick up every year, don't you, LP? Because the competition isn't getting slower. everybody seems to find some speed every year. Even if there was zero rule changes, you guys managed to find speed.
Exactly. We never take it for granted. We never want to sit on whatever result we had. And then, again, last season, we wanted to do the double, you know, like winning back-to-back the championship, and we worked very hard at it. Believe me, I mean, that's all we do here. That's just work on the getting the cars better, try to evolve, try to find some stuff, some speed, because it is, as you said, so competitive in the NASCAR Pinty Series that we have to be on top of our stuff and never take anything for granted. Like, over the winter, you've got to take your equipment apart and then build up some new stuff and then make sure you keep up the pace to be competitive this season following.
LP, of course, last year, new tire, general tire, heading into a new season. We know what tire we're going to be on. Everybody in the Pinty Series knows what to expect out of the tire. I think everybody in the garage area was extremely happy with the tire, but there was a lot of curveballs thrown at the field throughout the year, mainly on the ovals by the looks of things. Did you guys have to change your program dramatically throughout the season? Because I know you guys did pick up some considerable speed kind of right through the middle portion of the year. Did the tires throw you guys a little bit of a curveball towards the beginning and towards the end of the season?
I would say yes, which is fine. I mean, it's the same for every team. It's the same for every driver. But we were willing to try stuff. We were willing, you know, to understand that type of tire. I mean, the sidewall of that tire is way softer than the Goodyear was. And then we tried different tire pressure, tried different setup. Now, you have to adjust that kind of change. And I think that, yeah, during the season, we found some speed here and there, but as well as at the end of the season, we knew getting to the last couple of ovals that the year before, we were not as fast as we wanted, even if we won a championship the year before. And then we tried on the setup maybe too many things, but I was behind the idea of it. Like, I was pushing my guys, let's try. We had some pressure from behind in the championship, but we were like, let's try big things to see if it works, you know? So, tire-wise, there's some stuff we tried as well as at the end of the season, and obviously didn't work the way we wanted to go get the championship this 2019 season. But the good thing, sometimes when you try things and it doesn't go the right way, you know that that's not the way to go. And, yeah, you're right. This season, we all have some data about that new tire. And then, it's going to be second year now with it. And I like it. I like that tire. It's a good move forward for a series.
Absolutely, for sure. Now, the million-dollar question. We've asked a couple guys already. We've asked a couple guys this already. Are you excited to go play on the dirt, or would you rather see another road course or oval on there, on the asphalt side?
You know what I'm excited is to see the fans again. We've been all like in quarantine here, and it's just like I miss seeing people. I miss being in the racetrack. I just miss all that. So to me, to go on dirt is... I heard that the fans that just love dirt, they're just insane. There's a lot of them. They are very loyal to the dirt people, and I think we're going to develop another branch of racing in the NASCAR Pinty Series, which is for me is great. I was not from karting. I was not from dirt. I was from ice racing when I was a kid. You know, my brother and I were building some scrapyard cars and then going on ice during the weekend on the lake here in Quebec, so at Trois-Rivières. So for us, going sideways is pretty natural. So I got no problem with that. I'm very excited. I just can't wait to get going, get some testing going, and get to understand better the type of setup that you have to work with the dirt. And I had a couple friends that already told me, man, you got to come and try my car. Like, they have different type of cars that you run on dirt and in Granby here in Quebec. So, yeah, no, I'm all in. I'm very excited.
We're with LP Dubalin tonight, driver of the 47, NASCAR Pinty's 47, WeatherTech Dodge. LP, You don't mind dirt, but does WeatherTech make dirt mats too for the inside of those cars?
The WeatherTech floor liner is the best in the business. They're laser measured for perfect fit. So whatever kind of racing you want, they'll make it happen. So yeah, they can. I mean, that's the first thing they need to do. They need to keep the dirt to get it on your. On your carpet. So, yeah, WeatherTech is the way to go, my friend.
They need to bring back that ad, by the way. The laser measured. They need to bring that ad back. So, WeatherTech, if you're listening, that ad needs to come back onto the TV immediately, because every time you said that during that ad, I repeated it 3 or 4 times. It's just an English thing to do. You know?
Exactly.
Laser measured.
So
laser measured, my friend.
LP, did you happen to partake today and enjoy the NASCAR race that we had on FS1 today, the simulation race? What did you think? Did you watch it?
Well, I didn't really watch it because, we're all together in the house. I've got 2 young kids, and they are a lot of fun, but they do take a lot of your time. So, no, I was not on the phone watching that. I was outside making a fire with my 2 kids and my wife. So, but I've watched, and I've seen that a couple guys that won a lot of championships, like Jimmy Johnson, is the first one to say that he needs to keep working on his e-racing or i-race. I don't know how you call it, but... I'm pretty much like Jimmy Johnson. When you ask me to be in a simulator, I don't have too much practice on that.
anybody who drives by the seat of their pants cannot get good in a simulator, right?
You can't
feel that pucker meter go off when you're sitting behind the screen.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I mean, if you want to learn a track, if you want to just keep your head in the game for sure. But I think that there's kids out there that are just really good at it. They have a lot of road ahead of us on that.
Absolutely. Going back to the dirt a little bit here, what we're going to do is every Pinty's driver that we get on here, we're going to ask the same question, but we're going to just see how everybody answers it. When we get to practice day on Oshweekend, when we get there, when we unload, who is the first one to spin the car out on the dirt? Who is it? Throw them under the bus. There's got to be somebody in your mind that jumps off the top of the page.
First car on the racetrack.
First car. No.
That's who's going to spin out first. The first guy on that track.
The first guy to go around in practice, who is it?
Man, Gilles Villeneuve always said you spin his car a lot because you wanted to see the limit. But I don't know. I mean, we'll see. Hey,
let's
put, maybe my brother will spin first.
No throwing JF under the bus.
No, you can. You're totally allowed to. I'm going to ask, we've got DJ coming up right after you, so I'm asking DJ the same question. Now, they got one around in testing.
Was it DJ or was Andrew that spun the car in testing?
I don't know the answer to that. We're gonna get to the root of that.
You're never gonna get the right answer to that because and I know right now DJ Kennington is gonna say it wasn't me, it was Ranger.
Yeah.
There was no number on the car. It was just a black car.
So you're saying JF will be the first one around.
He's the first one I hit all the time anyway.
All right, 10-4. 10-4.
It's going to be fun when we get things fired up. Hopefully,
that's for sure.
Hopefully sooner than later, but it's safe to say the 47 is ready to go on that racetrack, is it?
Oh, that's for sure. And believe me, we're serious more than that. We want to win the big trophy this year again, and we'll work very hard at it. My team is ready, and I'm very proud of them.
Well, you do a great job, LP. I know it's going to be outstanding as soon as we get that green flag in the air. This has been great catching up with you tonight. We wish you well there at home. Take care of those kids. Enjoy the fireplace. Stay safe. And I know we look forward to seeing you at CTMP when things fire off here.
Exactly. Indeed, my friend. Say hello to all the fans as well. Can't wait to see y'all.
You betcha. That's LP Dumoulin, driver of the 47, WeatherTech Dodge. Outstanding guy, Joe.
Just so everybody knows, they heard a crack of a can.
Did it?
Was not a Coors Light.
No.
It was not a Coors Light cracking. It was a Rockstar Thermo X marshmallow flavored.
Marshmallow.
It's not a very good energy drink.
No, I was just going to say.
I'm just going to say, this one here is not a very good energy
drink.
If it was a Coors Light, it would taste a hell of a lot better.
Listen, don't be talking marshmallow when you got DJ coming up. You know you're opening the door,
I know.
Right?
I'm opening up the door to a fat joke or
there
two.
You
but
go.
One coming. Thing we're going to have to do
yeah.
is we're going to have to. I wish we had a Domino's pizza here in the studio.
Why is that?
And maybe like a Blizzard with cone dip in it. By the way, that's life changing. We'll talk to DJ about that as well right after. But if you ever order a Blizzard from DQ,
Dairy Queen,
and this is a DJ Blizzard.
Oh, is it DJ patented move?
Yeah, 100%. You get cone dip poured in it.
Corn dip?
No, not corn dip.
Cone dip.
You know how chocolate?
Oh, yeah, how they dip it.
So when they pour that cone dip in,
right,
it goes like hard, but it's like streaky, right? So you get little bits of chocolate in there.
Yeah.
You got to get it because it is amazing. But anyways, what we're going to have to do is rub it in that we can still eat those things, but he's not allowed to.
Oh, he's not. No.
Him and number two on the team.
Yep.
Big diet.
Oh,
big
really?
Big weight loss program.
Really?
It's Weight Watchers, Herbal Magic, Jenny Craig all in one.
They're throwing the kitchen sink at it.
There's a bet going on there. It's Weight Loss 101. Spotters don't need to partake in it, which is the best part. But we're going to definitely drive that home after. So there'll be anti-fat jokes, and it's going to get to them.
Well,
it's going to bug them.
I would suggest that neither one of them take the weight loss program I went on. No. It worked like a damn. It worked really, really good.
It worked really good.
All Too good.
All you got to do is just get a little bit of throat cancer. You're good to go.
That's it. Stand up. Well, a good strong wind now. I got to nail myself down.
That's right.
Anyway, we're going to hit a break. When we come back, how about it? DJ Kennington, the Castrol Edge Dodge kind of guy, is going to join us live here. It'll be a blast. Guaranteed. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Derek Peterson, driver of the number 7 Oscar Super Late model, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
Logano's in the wall. He'll slide up and he'll slam. Oh, safer bear, and he clips Larson. He'll send Larson.
The thrill of the race. Live from the track.
Definitely sliding into it, out of control.
It's unbelievable how quickly things can change in racing.
There's no weak spot.
You just never know how it's going to play out.
Insider access to the drivers.
We'll roll with it. We're enjoying it. We'll collect as many trophies as we can.
And the exclusive home to Happy Hours, hosted by Kevin Harvick.
It's a new normal. Better figure it out.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Canadian singer-songwriter Stephen Page.
I've been fairly quiet about political things over the last bunch of years. You know, I moved to the United States. I can't vote there. I'm not a citizen. I can't vote here anymore because I've been away for longer than 5 years. And I was wondering whether I had a right to speak up or whether it mattered whether I spoke up. Closest to a conclusion that I could come is this is who I am. And the best thing I can be as an artist is honest.
Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167.
Racetime Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you close. If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio on SiriusXM 167.
And we are back with you live tonight, right here in the Racetime Radio studio. So glad you could tune in. I'm Joe Senior. I hate saying that. That's Joe Junior over there. You can't see him, but trust me, he is there. And over on the hotline, what do you say? I push that button and we bring up, how about another two-time champion in the NASCAR Pinty Series? Drives the number 17 Castrol Edge Dodge and takes it real serious, too. Seen a picture of him today. He's wishing he was behind the wheel of his race car because he was all dressed up for it in an 8-1 Halloween. Let's welcome in DJ Kennington. What's going on, DJ? How you doing?
How are you tonight, boys?
We're good, doing man. Good. We're doing real good.
I've got a nice Domino's pizza here. Getting ready to crack into a blizzard.
I don't like it, Joe.
Just a warm cookie dough, maybe. Some cookies and milk too.
Stop it, would you?
Yeah.
An ice cold Pepsi. How good would that be?
Now you're killing me.
Yeah.
You had a good run, DJ. You had a good run. Put Chase in the car.
Killing me. It's been a tough couple months here with Brandon in the shop. We kind of made a little wager who could lose more weight, and it's been kind of fun, but it's been kind of hell too. But I definitely kept him. We doubled what he lost, so that was easy enough. And I've continued on and still trying to get down to close to 200 if I can before the start of the race season, so we get the maximum weight break and get this Castle Edge Dodge as fast as we can get it.
What's going on, DJ? Because the last time I seen you, the last time I seen you would have been at Jucasa when you won the race to end. What year was that? That was 2018?
Yep.
Wow. Yep. Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen you. But, man, you were in dynamite shape. And I think I even commented, whoa, DJ, you don't have a lot of weight to lose.
Oh, I did. I went back up to, it's embarrassing. I'm not going to lie to you, but as you get older, it gets a little harder. You wait till you get old, Joe.
Wait till I get old. Wait till Junior gets old. Can you imagine?
That's what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, it's tough. Being on the road and everything else, and you work so much, you eat like crap, and it got bad. I got back up to just over 240 pounds again, and it was time to do something about it, so I got at it as hard as I could, and it was fun to have a competition with the guys in the shop because it just makes you want it that much more. And, it's been a lot of fun. And I was just over 30 days, I lost 26 pounds. So it's good. I feel a lot better and hopefully look a lot better. I think my wife might like me a little more.
Yeah.
And, hopefully we're ready to go for race season. But, it seems like not a very important point at this time with what everybody in the world's going through. And hopefully everybody's staying healthy as they can, and this thing passes by as quick as possible, and we can get back to racing, and everybody get back to life as normal.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's what everybody's got to do. Just if they can hold back now, it's going to make a big difference. So the pros have been telling us. So that's what absolutely everybody's going to do. Because God knows we want to get back onto the racetrack as soon as possible. But DJ, how important is it to lose that weight and be able to put that weight where you want it in that 17 car? It's got to be a big advantage.
Well, it's going to be this year. They've changed the rules a little bit, the Penny Series, so they're finally weighing with the drivers. So, you look at the deal last year. If I was 235 pounds and, you get Julia Landau out there on a good day, she might be 120. I'm giving up 120 pounds right off the hop, and it's hard. It's a lot in these cars, and every little bit makes a difference, especially when they're so competitive and all the drivers are so good. And so, this year they made a deal so that I can't remember exactly, but I think it's anybody that's 150 or 125 to 150 pounds weighs the same as they did last year at 30-50 with the car. And then, the next group, 150 to 175, their car's got to weigh 30-25. And then the next group, it goes on and on. But as of right now, my car's got to weigh 29-75. So we're 75 pounds lighter there. And then if I figure I can get 35 pounds lighter, I've saved 115 pounds in the car just like that.
Absolutely.
So did they only weigh it once at the beginning of the year?
They weigh the drivers. They're going to be weighing them, I do believe, a few times throughout the season. We all got to have physicals at the start of the year, so your weight will be on there. And then, even in the Cup Series and down south now, before you race, you actually have to go into the medical center strip down to your undies and weigh in, and they take your weight so that they can figure out what weight your car has to be and so on. So it all works off percentages, which is cool, and it helps the bigger guys. And, you know, it doesn't really hurt the little guys, but it does. It's going to make the biggest difference for me, I would believe, on road courses because obviously, you know, 230 pounds sitting up in the race car, a little higher on the road courses, plus on the left side, it hurts you a lot. So hopefully we can just do what we can to try to be as fast as we can and try to do the best we can to get Townsville back in victory lane.
Now, DJ, of course, you know, kind of the inner workings of your team. You guys, by all accounts, you guys are more well prepared this year heading into the season than in the past. From you know, every time that you and I have spoke, you guys are ahead of the curve. You know, not to mention the downtime because of this whole deal with COVID, but you know, right now you guys are dramatically ahead of the curve. But on the flip side of that, there has been some changes on the back end, and I know a lot of the people, a lot of the fans of the series, definitely want to, you know, kind of see what is all happening behind the curtain. Fill us in about the changes that are taking place, you know, of the 17 and 27 teams.
Well, you know, it's been a lot. Obviously, Whitey's his own race team with WRI, and there's no for Andrew and a good friend and fellow racer, Rick Reburn, stepping in to take that role. And I mean, we just got a group of guys here, and you know what, Joe, that we got a really good group of guys. We got a lot of hard workers. All my teams work as one. And like you say, in the shop right now, I knew something had to go bad in the world because naturally I was finally prepared for a good season, and we're probably going to get delayed anyways. But I mean, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of time. Takes a lot to get the right people in the right positions, and we've got a great group of guys now. As you know, when we travel on the road, everybody gets along, everybody has a good time, and it's going to be a little different, obviously, without having Whitey there, but I mean, you know, he was only there at the racetrack last year running his own business and so on, so just got to have our guys step up and fill the role and move on with it the best we can. I'm just so excited about the whole program here at DJK, and you know, I've got 7 race cars here in the shop right now that are, I mean, we could test 4 of them right now if we wanted to. So, I mean, like you say, we're a little ahead of the curve for a change. Hopefully that doesn't mean that we back up hard during the race season, but I think probably the most important thing about this Penny's deal is preparation and being ready to go so that, you know, we only get hour practice sessions, and you got to have everything tip-top, ready to rock and roll so that you can use that hour to your advantage and get the thing tuned in the best you can, and hopefully we can get out and get testing this year early, and we've really never even done that in the last couple of years, so just really looking forward to getting the ball rolling, and we've been working hard here in the shop, and I mean, I'm out here right now just looking over some cars and some notes and stuff, and just trying to figure it all out, and hopefully, like I say, when the green flag drops, whenever it may be, and I pray for everybody that this COVID thing, you know, everybody does their part and stays home, and I know we haven't been anywhere except the grocery store, and it's tough. It's a different normal. It's kind of a new normal now, and it's a scary thing that's going on out there, and hopefully we can get everything solved, and you know, people can get better, and everybody can get back to life, and it's going to be a big struggle for the companies, for the sponsors, for everybody. I mean, an economical hit like this, and I'm just hoping that everything gets you know, cleared up as quick as possible so all these businesses can survive and everybody can get back to work and everybody can feed their families and we can go racing.
Amen. I can guarantee you that would be the sooner the better that we can get on that racetrack and get things going. Will be that's what all of us need, and we just got to think positive and do like you say, get on with it and do what we can. Now, in saying that, DJ, you got to get out of the shop every now and then. You got to turn on your simulator. You got to do that kind of stuff so that you can stay sharp at that light weight. What are you doing these days to maybe sharpen those skills and be able to, when you do get behind the wheel, it's going to sort of feel like that, at least in your hands?
Well, I've been looking into hard trying to get this iRacing thing up and running so that I can get practicing and have some fun with that. I mean, it looks like a lot of fun. That was an amazing show that Fox put on today, and it's hard to believe how real it is, being that it's on computers and seeing all the drivers and all the social stuff and so on, it was just kind of a bright spot, I think, in all the darkness that we've had in the last couple weeks here. And it was great to see. And, I mean, myself personally, I'm just trying to, you know, eat better, to feel better, to have more energy and be ready to go. Had good talks with all my guys on my team. I mean, you know, Scotty and Doug and Doug, Dave and Freeman and Bubba and all my main guys. I mean, I'm going to try to concentrate more this year on just driving the race car instead of trying to do everything myself. And that's what I got to get back to. When I was winning races and running up front every week like we were supposed to, I mean, Whitey was kind of steering the ship and all the guys were doing the stuff and I was just driving at the racetrack. And it's kind of gotten away from that the last couple of years, and that's my own fault, nobody else's. And I've just got to concentrate on that and get back to doing what I do. And I have no doubts in my mind that I'm still capable and ready to go out there and win races. And, you know, I've been trying to practice on the PlayStation, and my good friend of mine is Joe Jr. He got me into this PlayStation sprint car game, Tony Stewart sprint car, and I never even knew how to do it. He talked me through it. I got a headset, got everything, and I thought I'm going to go on there and show these guys how it's done, and I absolutely suck. I mean, I can't get out of my own way. I can't even stay out of their way. So I got a lot of work to do. My son's down there, Chase. He's trying to teach me how to do this stuff. I'm trying to stay as sharp as I can, but, man, it sucks getting lapped in a 20-lap feature.
Lapped twice.
Oh, yeah. Rub it in.
Rub it in. Hey, if you knew how hard I got rubbed it in at a go-kart track in Saskatoon, I'm allowed to rub it in.
Absolutely. That's how I say it. I keep telling the guys on the radio, I said, if we had real cars, you'd all be in trouble.
Yeah, he did, for sure.
Too funny. When Chase is able to teach you, and that's what Chase is doing now, he'll be able to teach the old guy how to use the simulator.
It's scary, I'm telling you. My kids, Sid and Chase, never have a problem with the iPad or with my phone or anything. I even have Chase turn the PlayStation on for me now. I mean, it's brutal. I just hand my stuff to them and say, can you fix this, buddy? And he just gets on and does it. I'm like, that's cool. Thanks, pal. But, no, it's a lot of fun. Just trying to stay as sharp as I can. I played a lot of hockey over the winter. You know, I played in a couple tournaments and played as much as I possibly could, and I feel that keeps my reflexes and everything sharp, being a goalie. And I just trying to do everything I can to be as ready and prepared as I can for my sponsors, my team. And I really want to get back to Victory Lane as much as we can. And most of all, I want to bring that championship home for Castro and the 17 car.
Hey, we got to throw it out to you, too. Watching over the course of the winter, you, my friend, built one kick-ass rink. I bet you every kid in the neighborhood wanted to be on that. That was just about as good as, any local rink that's around. You did a dynamite job on that.
It was awesome. I actually found it online with one of my – Chase has been playing travel hockey this year, and one of the coaches, he's a doctor in town, and he had told me that he has what they call a nice rink. And I started researching it, looking at it, and so on. It's through Costco, but it's expensive as all hell, I'll tell you that much. But my kid absolutely enjoys and loves eat, breathe, sleep hockey. Chase honestly, he's not that interested in racing yet, which is fine by me. I'm not going to force anything on him, but he loves hockey. He's great at it. I love watching him. I actually coached him this year, and I'm having a blast with it. And I'll tell you what, I mean, I wish we would have had a few more cold days here, because he was on that thing every time it was frozen enough. Sometimes it wasn't frozen enough for Chad Dad to get on it, but we could let Chase go out there and have at her, and it's good exercise. It's fun for him to be outside, and just watching him progress and how much better he's got at hockey has been really cool for me as a dad. And it was a lot of work to set it up and take care of it and maintain it, but that helped me with my weight loss too. Shoveling the thing every day and flooding it and everything else. It was a learning curve, and it was a lot of fun. Like I say, I can't wait for next year to put the thing back up, and hopefully he has some more fun on it.
Well, I tell you what, you could plummet with a refrigeration unit, and you can't drive a refrigeration unit into the fence. So, I mean, you could literally, like, I mean, for the cost of one race car, you could have that thing. It would be frozen all year round.
I looked at it. It's expensive. It's expensive. I did look at the situation, because I know there's a lot of outdoor rinks that do it, but no, there was no way that was going to happen. I mean, you know, even after I bought the rink, I was kind of shaking my head when it was a big pool out there for about 2 months. And I was just thinking, man, I wonder how many times I could have actually rented the arena for this price. But,
no doubt.
Anyways, I'll be able to use it again next year, and it was a lot of fun, like I say. It's cool that I can be out in the shop and have him out on the ice and just, you know, take a look out there every once in a while. And I got to the point where I could just leave his boots there, and when he was all done, he'd take his skates off, put his boots on, and come back out to the shop. So it's
too
a cool deal. It was a lot of fun, and like I say, as long as they're outside and healthy and having fun, I'm all for it.
Absolutely.
Well, forget about driving the Zamboni on CTMP. Bring it home.
Yeah, no doubt. I even tried a few times to get the snowblower up there on it, but, I mean, it just doesn't work. That you got to use the shovel, and it was... I look like the arena guys at the Leaf games. I was out there with my big shovel and my skates on and didn't look near as nice as most of them.
How cool would it have been, DJ, for you? You're a goalie, and you've done like the old-timer games, alumni games. How cool would it have been to got that phone call, that guy that got the phone call and got into the Leafs game? Well, how cool would that have been?
Oh, you know, everybody, I mean, I've been so lucky and fortunate with Patrice Brisebois being a friend of mine and letting me go and practice with the actual Canadians and then getting the call twice to play for the Canadians alumni team, or actually three times, I guess, now. And I played against the Leafs again this year at Oshawa, and I was so sick. I had strep throat. I woke up in the morning with the chills, and I couldn't even get rolling. It was in early January, and I was going to call and just tell Mark I can't make it, but, I mean, that kind of opportunity, you'd never want to turn it down because you don't know if it's ever going to come again. So I went and played, and I played like I play on the PlayStation, not very good.
Yeah.
And we ended up playing 6-6, and the fans loved it, and it was great. It was a cool deal for me to play against a lot of guys that I, you know, grew up idolizing and watching, like Gary Roberts. And it was just really cool to be out there and do it. And when David Ayers got the call there in Toronto, I was just so nervous for him because I know what it's like. I mean, I was playing in Oshawa in front of 5,000 people. That was, nerve-wracking enough. And I see him come out in the big stage there, and then they pop the first two in. I'm like, oh, that poor guy. Being a goalie, I'm like, he is so shaky because, I mean, he's just nervous.
Right.
And then the team buckled down so good, and Carolina played so dang well that obviously I'm a Leaf fan, and that was real embarrassing. But, I mean, he played so cool and calm in the third period. He looked great, and it was a, you know, real cool experience for him, and it was fun. I mean, if they'd have called me, I'd have went in there for, you know, in a heartbeat, but it probably would have been just as same as him, if not worse, being so nervous. But it'd be a lot of fun. I'd take my shot at it for sure.
Absolutely. Well, you'd be letting all the goals in because you'd want the Leafs to win.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, I know you're...
I wouldn't tell anybody that, but it might happen, especially if it's been making the playoffs or not.
Well, diving out of the way.
You know what Ayers is wishing, though, right? He's wishing that he got the call to do a Daytona 500 start, and that's something that you have done, my friend.
Absolutely. I'm very, very fortunate, and like I say, just honestly blessed with all the people that have helped me over the years and having a lot of fun with it. To have all these race cars just standing here in the shop right now looking at everything that we've accumulated and got over the seasons and how nice the cars look to be ready to rock and roll for this year and so on. It's a blessing to have the people like Mopar and Castrol and everybody that helps us out. We can't do it without them. And, I mean, I've had so many people. I mean, with Brian Cathcart, Joe Ryder from Will Ride, and you know, Canadian Linen and CIM Metals, and there's so many of these people that help these little race teams and help us do what we do, and without that stuff we can't do it, and you guys know that. And so for me to be able to go to places like Daytona and do these things that with the Canadians, and, you know, tweet as much as I can for my sponsors and all that kind of stuff, it's just an honor and a blessing for me, and I'm very fortunate and very lucky to be able to do what I love for a living.
Absolutely. And the million-dollar question, of course, we just had LP Dumoulin on the program, so we asked the same question we're going to ask every NASCAR Pinty Series guy that we have from now until the time that the race drops. But, of course, DJK Racing has already been on the dirt at Oshweken. Everybody knows that. But the million-dollar question that I'm going to ask everybody is, who do you think will be the first NASCAR Pinty Series driver to get the thing backwards and spun around at Oshawa Weekend when we unload Hathaway. That's
Hathaway, 100%.
I knew the answer before you said it, and
because
so
it might be, probably be me doing it.
Oh man,
off the front bumper of the 17 car.
You know, Jay Hathaway is probably tuned in right now, going, give me that phone, Jamie. I gotta call these guys."
Hey, we're gonna ask him. You know, we're gonna have him on the program.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I'm all for it.
But
let's get it started.
So JF Dumoulin is LP's pick. Your pick is Hathaway, and we're gonna have to move forward. But
I'm not gonna lie to you guys. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be an amazing show. It's gonna be great. When we tested and did the stuff for NASCAR to try the tires and so on, it was a blast. It was a lot of fun. Ranger was out there. I'm not gonna lie to you. He spun out like 7 times. he did most of the testing for NASCAR and so on, just trying to find the limits of the tires and everything else. And obviously we were probably nowhere close with setup or anything like that either. We were just guessing. So it was fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. We got a lot of talented race car drivers. There's going to be a lot of ringers coming in to do the deal. And it's going to be a blast, man. I think it's going to be a hell of a show. Everybody's going to get dirty. Everybody's going to, I'm sure there'll be, you know, it's probably going to be even a better show after watching all the fights.
Yeah, it's going to be
the
incredible.
Spotters won't get dirty, buddy.
Yeah, I know. You'll just watch from up there.
Well, you're going to the cleanest dirt track you could possibly go to. I can guarantee you that. How much preparation, extra preparation's got to go into one of those Pindy's cars to go on the dirt?
It's a lot. It's a lot, but it's not. It's you can use your cars that you have. I mean, minimal rule changes other than, you know, rad shrouds and fan hubs and stuff like that on the front of them to try to keep the radiators and keep the engines from overheating. You're going to have to maybe, you know, try some stuff. Obviously, springs and sway bars and all the major suspension stuff is going to be different on the dirt than we do on the ovals and on the asphalt stuff. But, I mean, it's going to be a crapshoot. I really think so. It's going to be a lot of fun. And the nice part is it shouldn't cost the teams a lot of money to do it. But, I mean, some teams have went out and bought cars and older cars and so on to have to use on the dirt. And we're very fortunate to have enough cars that we can use a couple of our older oval cars on the dirt as well and save our cars for Jukasa after that race. But it's going to be a blast, man. I've heard so many people talking about it, and I know a lot of the drivers are pumped up, and it's going to be a lot of fun. The only ones that are going to not like it are probably all of us owners.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be some sheet metal and some fiberglass pour up, but they do a great job at Oshawegan. Glenn's an amazing guy. He's a super, super nice guy, everything I've ever dealt with him on. And they're doing a hell of a job to promote it, and they're doing a hell of a job to get everything ready. The track was perfect when we were there testing. As far as I know, anyways, what do I know about dirt?
But, yeah.
I mean, it was perfect. It was smooth. There was no problems with anything with the cars. It was just a blast, and we're going to have a lot to learn, but it's going to be fun doing it.
Hey, yeah, Barry Speedway is not on the schedule anymore, so the Fiberglass 300 just has a different name now.
Yeah, absolutely, and everybody's worried about tearing their stuff up, but I was like, you don't have to worry about tearing it up that bad because it's hard to get going fast.
Yeah. Well, and you got some ringers coming in too, right? You've got Kenny Wallace. Didn't he tell us that he was going? We got Stuart Friesen is going to be in. You got some big names coming
Mac
into
DeMann,
this one.
Yeah, local, right? A local ringer.
Sure.
Mac
yeah,
DeMann
there'll be a lot of local guys I think you're going to see that run there and run local dirt tracks that are going to be tough to beat for sure, especially because a lot of the dirt, man, I mean, you can only do so much with the setups and so on, and a driver can make up a lot of ground on the dirt, I think, just from experience alone. So obviously Friesen's going to be a guy that you got to look at. It's going to run real well. And I got Kenny Wallace coming to drive one of our cars. He's obviously been on dirt a lot, and he's a lot of fun, and I look forward to working with him, and I look forward mainly just to hanging out with him. Super nice guy, and we've known each other quite a while back in all the way back to the Busch Series days when we raced the Grand Busch Series together when he was running for Jay Robinson and I was running with Randy McDonald. And it's funny, that makes me feel really old talking about that, but
you are.
Yeah, thanks. And but I'm telling you, it's just the racing thing's been great for all the people I've met over the years and all the friends I've made, and you know, everybody in North Carolina and down south and so on, just the officials and, you know, you name it, just people that you meet. And every time I go down there, you run into them, and it's like you just talked to them last week, and it's a lot of fun. And I look forward to that dirt race, man, with those guys coming up here. And I just hope that, you know, the crowd gets a good show, and I'm sure it'll be packed, and hopefully we can do it again in years to come.
How much? It's not going to be much longer, and we're going to have to hear Kenny Schrader is probably going to jump in. We need Schrader to be up here in that race. If we got Wallace and we got Stu Friesen and all you guys, I think we need Schrader in this one, too.
I've heard rumblings and rumors about Schrader coming already. I'm pretty sure you might see him here, too. And heck, I mean, let's get them all. Kyle Larson, let's get everybody up here. Whoever wants to come, I mean, it would be an amazing deal. Why not? The Penny Series has worked hard, and there's been a lot of us that have been here a lot of years, and can't believe that how many starts in a row I've made. That just means I've been here too long. And the more the merrier. Let's bring them up here. Let's make a hell of a show and have some fun.
Yeah, and the track that Tony Stewart got his first big sprint car win at, too. So you never know. Maybe smoke will come up.
Hey, that'd be cool. I mean, these guys all love their dirt, and I'm a bigger fan of it now after I actually was on it. I mean, I never raced asphalt and go-karts. I raced dirt my whole childhood growing up, and I raced on dirt the whole time. I raced go-karts, and I went right from go-karts into stock cars at Delaware, so I got some dirt experience. It's just hard to remember that far back.
That's a while ago, isn't it? I remember being with you at Delaware Speedway the first year we started covering the series, and that was Whitey's first year. And look what you did, DJ. You've come a long way. Won a lot of races, a lot of championships. It would look kind of suiting to have that dirt trophy in your shop. You got room for it in the cabinet.
Yeah, I could fit it anywhere. Heck, we'll make a bigger cabinet. That's fine.
Yeah, that cabinet's pretty full. I don't know. That cabinet's pretty full. You're going to be building.
I'm telling you, I've just been so, like I say, so fortunate with all the people. I can't even name them all. Dwight Kennedy from MVP with helping me everything down south, and Lordco and Castrol. And, if you'd have told me this 20 years ago, I'd tell you were crazy that I've had over 50, I think it's 56 starts in the Xfinity Series, and like 15 in the trucks, and 12 in Cup, and I have no idea how many in CASCAR and NASCAR. That's a lot. And obviously all the late model races and everything in between there too. And I kind of wish now that I've done all this stuff and that we've been through it, that I would have kept track of all the places and all the races and all the Hooters Pro Cup races and K&N races and everything else. I really want to go over and run the Euro Series, because if I can run in that series, I'm not 1,000% sure, but I think I'd be one of like maybe a handful that have ran in every series there is in NASCAR. So,
I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah, because you got K&N starts. You've had a
NASCAR
modified
wheeling.
Start.
Yep.
You've done it all, man.
You need the Mexico Series, I think, right? The Mexico Series and the Euro Series, and you would basically have all of it.
Yeah, with Julia switching gears here and going to the Euro Series, I might have to talk to Jerome down there and see if I can't make one of those happen. And I'd love to try the Mexico Series as well. Like I say, it's just, it's been so fortunate. I'm blessed. I love it. I mean, racing's what I do. It's what I love. It's all I know. And I'm just hoping that, with this COVID crap going on, that it doesn't hurt all the companies so bad that, it's obviously going to hurt, the economy and companies, and they're not going to be able to do some of the things that they were doing before, obviously, until they get things rolling again. And I'm just hoping that everybody is safe, everybody's healthy, and all these companies survive so that these racers have sponsors and people got racetracks to go to, and we can go out there and have some fun.
Well, DJ, all those memories that you've got, and standing in that shop, you take a good look around, all those trophies and those cars and all of that stuff. The coolest part about you, man, is you have absolutely earned every single one of them. You've earned all of that. It's not like some guys that arrive, drive, and away they go. You, my friend, you earned it, and you ain't done earning yet, I know it. When we get that green flag back in the air, look out. This is going to be a dynamite season.
I sure hope so. I'm looking forward to it. There's so many good competitors in the Penny Series, and I'm friends with a lot of them, and you get your rivalries and your enemies as well, and that's what makes it racing. I mean, it wouldn't be very fun if you loved everybody out there. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to a great season for my sponsors and for my guys. I mean, I just want to go out there and show that we can still get it done and have some fun. And hopefully, like I say, at the end of the year, we're counting checkered flags in a championship.
Well, you get after Chase there downstairs, and you get on that simulator. I seen a tweet earlier today with you sitting in that seat. It would be cool to see you in the next iRacing that NASCAR does, if they do it again. It would be kind of cool for you to represent Canada in that, but you got to get better at it.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to get the dang iRacing first so I can get practicing. I mean, I hope I'm a lot better than I am on the PlayStation, because I'm awful. I kind of want Joe to sign in so I can play him in hockey. I think I might beat him on that. But the racing thing, I'm struggling at. So I got to get my butt down there. You know, I think I might even start when the wife falls asleep, sneak downstairs and start practicing more, and maybe come out one night and surprise Joe and the boys.
Yeah, just click appear offline. Otherwise, I'll join the lobby and watch how the progression happens.
10-4.
Incredible. DJ, this has been great catching up with you. We really appreciate it. And, you get back to doing what you're doing there. Be safe, and I know we all look forward to a lighter, leaner DJ Kennington for the 2020 season. Stay away from the burgers. And Junior, just so you know, Junior's drinking a marshmallow energy drink.
Junior, it's a lost cause, Joe. I'm telling you, I tried.
It's better than a Coors Light.
We try to tell them that we love them and we want them to be healthy and lose some weight and stop doing all the bad habits he's got, but he just keeps telling me it's been a hell of a run. So
that's what he keeps saying, and he keeps saying that to me, too. He said, Dad, what are you going to worry about? You've had a good run.
Them four, it's all about having fun, fellas.
You want to believe it. We're having a gas. DJ, thanks so much for the time, buddy. You take her easy and be safe, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
My pleasure. You two guys, and like I say, everybody out there, do your best to get rid of this crap and stay home, do your part. Let's do all we can, keep our kids and our families safe so that we can get back to racing.
Amen. That is DJ Kennington, driver of the 17 Castrol Edge Dodge. They don't make him much better than that guy right there.
They don't, for sure. And definitely interesting pick, right,
yeah.
for first one to go around at this weekend, the three. A little poke at the bear at Hathaway over there. Hathaway will probably say the 17.
Oh,
it's going to be interesting to see everybody's who everybody calls out here.
Yeah,
but I'm going to be glued to the spotter stand for that. I'm really excited to see the first time. There's so many variables heading into Ashwiken.
Yeah,
and the biggest payout that the NASCAR Pinty Series has ever seen.
Yes,
That they're putting together. That is, you know, that it's like the Daytona 500 for these guys,
sure,
up here.
Sure.
And a tremendous amount of money, a tremendous amount of excitement going into an event. An all-around exciting year for the NASCAR Pinty Series. Hopefully this stuff buggers off and we can get after it.
Yeah, it's going to be a Wednesday night, right? We'll have to take a look at the Pinty Series schedule. Is it a Wednesday night race?
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to look. We're going to hit a break. We'll have a look at it, and we'll have you tuned up when we get back. But we're looking forward to talking with Tim Terry, too. He is going to be up next here on the program. We'll check in with Timmy and find out how things are going. We haven't talked to him in a couple months. So we'll check in with him next, and we will be back live tonight on Race Time.
Hi, this is Bob Bierman from Carquest Auto Parts for Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM Channel 20.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce.
But I got a goddamn.
To the insight of Adam. Shine.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports. Not NFL. Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself, Mad Dog. Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
Little Ked bringing us back. Thanks, Ked. We are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. Got to thank you all for tuning in tonight. A little bit of a change for us all here. Of course, things are changing everywhere. And with Sirius XM Channel 167, you are listening to the show on Sirius XM Channel 167, but it is a re-air. We haven't got an op in the studio on a Sunday night now. Until after the coronavirus has come and gone, when things go back to normal, then, of course, we will be live again on Sirius XM Channel 167. But like everything else, we did run into a little difficulty there. We have no op in Toronto. So, therefore, you're listening to a re-air, and you can join Junior and I and the rest of us all live at racetimeradio.com and click our live stream at 6:45 Eastern Time until we get fired back up on Sirius XM on a live basis. You'll be able to tune in and join us, join the program, and you can do that again at racetimeradio.com on the live stream. Anybody listening to us right now already knows that, Junior, but things are changing.
Things are changing dramatically and fast, and, you know, one thing stays the same. We talk about racing.
Yeah, always. Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, a bunch of changes happened there as well.
Yeah.
Things, you know, really switched up.
For sure.
You got, it's a fluid situation. So,
yep.
The morning drive was broken to, I think, three or four different parcels throughout the course of the day, and they were doing a podcast style.
For sure.
Great show. Just split up. That's all it was.
Yeah, most definitely. And you know, it's going to be interesting to see how everything reacts. I know, you know, DJ touched on it. Man, everybody just needs to stay home right now.
That's it.
Essential people need to get to work. Hospital workers and grocery and food. People who work in
pharmacies.
The grocery industry, pharmacies.
Yep.
Need to obviously be at work. But
and thank
everybody
you very
else,
much.
Yes, thank you very much for everything you guys do. Another one. Truckers, man,
yes,
truckers are out there and keeping the lights on, keeping the wheels turning, and you know, thank you to each and every one of you. A difficult situation; they can't stop and get food right now.
No,
right?
They
can't. There's no place. So you know, it would be really, really helpful to find, you know, some helpful abilities to feed the truckers.
Yeah, well, you can't take one of those big trucks through the drive-through at McDonald's or
exactly.
Harvey's or Tim Hortons.
Keep them
for
in
that
mind,
fact.
For sure.
So keep those truckers in mind. I know, just quick story, we were out in Nova Scotia, and I want to say we were in New Glasgow. And it was after, I believe it was the IWK 250, a bunch of us got together at the hotel. All the race was done, everything's done, and we were hungry. And we wanted to go get something to eat. Across the road was a Burger King. And so we walk across the street. Well, the restaurant was actually closed.
Yep.
But the drive-thru was open. So we thought, oh, this is great. We'll just walk up to the drive-thru. They couldn't serve us.
Yeah.
They couldn't serve us. You had to come in through with a car.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, couldn't believe it. So feel for those truckers. And if there's some way you can reach out and get them a coffee or whatever.
A warm
meal.
If
there's anything we can do. For the truckers, we got to do that because they're definitely a critical part of what we eat and what we do on a day-to-day basis. And we get to stay safe, and they're out on the road. So thanks to everybody, the frontline healthcare workers, the police service, the truckers, all of it, yeah. The grocery stores, that's what's keeping all of us in safety. So they're sacrificing for our safety.
Absolutely.
Which is just amazing, to say the least. But let's get back to talking some racing here to the east coast of Canada with a real busy guy. If you know him, you know what I'm saying. Tim'sCorner.ca is where you can read a lot of stuff that happens in the Maritimes and more. And the author of it and the owner of it is Tim Terry. We got him on the hotline. What's going on there, Timmy, my friend?
You forgot the second half of that story, Joe, because Kirk Alexander came along and saved our rear end so we could eat that night.
Oh, that's, you're right. That's who it was, wasn't it?
Me, Ralph, and Marty were there, too.
Yeah. Oh, man. You remember that, Tim. That was a hoot.
15 people pile into a Toyota Camry and go through the drive-thru and pay with 15 separate debit cards.
Yeah. Oh, that was funny.
That would be. Man.
No, Kirk pulled up to the window and ordered, and then we all shouted into the speaker what we wanted, and then Kirk drove up, and we all got our food through Kirk.
That's right. You're right. You're right. See, I'm getting old. I forgot that part. Yeah.
I think there's a picture floating around on Facebook somewhere of all of us standing by the speaker.
Yeah. Too funny, Timmy. You've been a busy guy, man. You've been down south. You're back up here. Good to see you made it home safely, I might add.
Yeah, it's been a busy week and a half to 2 weeks or so ever since coming home from the States. Tried to get to the Atlantic Outdoor Sports and RV Show, but that was canceled, so we didn't get to do that. But busy getting ready for the season, obviously, with everything being as fluid as it is, we kind of have to assume that we're running, but maybe in the back of our minds think that there could be a plan B, C, D, and E, and so on and so forth. So Scotia SpeedWorld released their schedule on Saturday, so that's all out and ready to go. Last schedule to be released. Obviously, there's going to be some changes, I'm sure, for some racetracks down the road. Radical Speed Sports canceled. Greg and them put that out this week. So it's been a tough week and a half or so, but I think today helped a little bit with the iRacing deal. We've been busy on the iRacing side the last 3 days with the IMSA deal yesterday, and then the practice race for today on Friday. So it's been quite busy.
Yeah, Tim, for listeners that may not know, you do a lot of announcing, not only on Canada's East Coast, and you're part of us, but you also do a ton of iRacing stuff. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we're part of the NASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing series. So every second Tuesday, we put a series of sanctioned by NASCAR, and there's 40 drivers in that series that have earned their way up through the ranks to be a part of the top elite oval division on iRacing. We just had our race at the Homestead Miami Seaway on Tuesday. Race number 3 in the book will go a week and a half or so, and then we go into the Bristol Motor Speedway. I'm really excited for that one, being a short track guy myself, but it's 40 drivers. We have 2 Canadians in the series, both of them from Halifax. One's Dylan Duval. He won at Indianapolis a couple of years ago. The other is Keegan Leahy. Came so close to winning the championship last year, fell about a half lap short of winning $40,000. And he was actually the spotter for Denny Hamlin today, who went to victory lane in the Pro Invitational Series. So a little bit of a Canadian connection behind Denny Hamlin's win today is kind of neat. You can go on and check them out on social media and on Twitter. But it's a neat series. It keeps everybody engaged. And some of those drivers, it might be all they get to do, but it might be the next springboard, the next leap to what could be a short track ride, or could be a ride in the NASCAR top 3.
Do you know personally the two Canadians, Tim?
Like, yeah, Keegan's been out to Scotia Speed World a couple of times. He actually takes part in our cart bond deals that we have once a month in the wintertime. Dylan's been out to a couple of our shows. Both great kids. And they, obviously, Keegan's been out a couple of times to Scotia Speed World. Actually presented trophies, I think it was 2 years ago on Molson night. So they both love racing. Keegan is a student at Dow. So bright future ahead of him. And Dylan Duvall has been here since, I think, 2011 or 2012. So he's been around the block a couple of times, too.
Neat. That's really cool. Tim, now the million-dollar question for you, I think every time we talk about the Maritime Pro Stock Tour... every time we talk about the Maritime Pro Stock Tour, we bring up the exact same thing. It doesn't matter if we're talking to Jonathan Hicken or talking to Tim Terry, talking to Ken Cunning. Who's driving the Zero car next year?
I knew that was coming.
Tell us the answer. Don't do this. Don't
okay.
step
I don't
around
have a concrete
this.
Answer for you, but I'm going to tell you that I tried to get a concrete answer here a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
When I flew home, I ended up at Dylan Blankhorn's shop. They are getting ready, or were getting ready, for the race at Hickory coming up in a couple of weeks, so I don't think that's going to happen with everything being as fluid as it is.
Right.
And they needed parts, and who walks in the door but Steven Henderson?
Okay.
And
good guy to ask.
Stevie was in, and Stevie was out.
Yeah.
So, quick stop. I was told that the car is wrapped, but there's no driver name above the door.
Ah, they're keeping everybody in suspense, aren't they?
Yeah.
All right, that's enough, Steven. That's enough, Steven. Yeah. Now, if you're listening to this program right now, that's enough. You just need to tell us already. This has got to be the most contested.
The car is wrapped.
It's got to be the most contested seat in Ontario motorsport, or in Ontario,
yeah.
in Canadian motorsports right now, is that Zero car.
Yes, I would.
It's
got to
be
that.
The most contested, like for how the entire deal works, and for you know how competitive it is, and for how powerful that seat is. It's got to be one of the most contested seats
yes.
in Canadian racing right
I
now.
I would think so. I would think so. Now, Tim, did you see the wrap?
I did not see the wrap. I heard from a second source that may have been in that shop that day that it was wrapped.
Any sort of indication? Did they say what the wrap looked like? Could we pull anything out of the way that the description of the wrap is?
Well, they said there was a little more white on it than there was last year, and I said that doesn't really help me because 2 or 3 years ago they had the little white running through the paint scheme, which on.
Yeah,
so,
they did.
I couldn't pull anything out of it, and the person that may have been at that shop was looking around that car. If you link the Blankhorn to somebody that's usually curious and usually likes to talk and get answers out of people, if Terry can't get any answers out of people, I don't know who can.
Yeah, yeah, so, you're right.
But it almost links to what Jimmy Johnson and the 48 team is going through now on the Cup Series, because he's retiring at the end of the year, and that's been the big question for the last couple of months, who's replacing Jimmy Johnson in the 48 car. We're eventually going to get the answer to it because it's going to come on the racetrack at Daytona in 2021 with somebody else in the car.
Yeah.
That car is going to come out to Petty, hopefully, in a couple of months at the 200 lapper with somebody in the car. We're just really not sure who.
Well, and you know, there could be some testing involved prior to that race, and we may even get a little tip-off before then, but it's going to be very interesting. In looking at potentials, Tim, let's just think potentials now. Who is a good potential for that Zero car?
I said the same thing back in January, and I'll say it again. I think Matt Vaughn is a perfect fit for that race car. You want to talk about Sean Turple moving up a couple of years ago, spent a year in the Fraser camp, and then moved over to that Zero car. Matt Vaughn is a sportsman competitor at Scotia Speed World, a darn good sportsman competitor, has won the championship, has won the 100, and he's now... You know, I don't know if he's looking to move into a pro stock ride, but it just seems like it fits. Matt Vaughn would be a prime candidate. He would qualify for the XI Batteries Rookie of the Year Award. I would think that would be number one on the top of my list. He's worked with the team last year. He worked with Bubba and Sean and the crew. So I think that's probably the best fit. But again, I don't have the race car in my shop, and it's not my call. So.
No,
I do want to say though, Tim, you did only have one job. And coming on tonight, you let us down. There was one job for you. Like, that was it. I didn't give you a hard task, and you didn't live up to it, Tim.
Well, I did give you the little hint that Blinkhorn and them were going to Hickory. Did that help you at all?
I know.
I heard it.
Yeah. I'm just playing with you.
I threw that in there for you.
You threw a bone out there for us.
Yeah, it did. And it had meat on it as well.
It did. There was still a couple bites left on there. I will say, good job on, you know, not telling us, even though we know that in the motorsports world, everybody tells and then says, don't tell anybody. So we know that you know, but you won't tell us.
I've been away for a little while, and I still get that question. I get the question probably once a week, and the same answer I told you. I think if I was putting somebody in the car, it would be Matt Vaughn, but I haven't heard anybody from the team say anything. But that's the name that's also been thrown around recently around here, too.
I know, like last fall, it was right near championship, the Oliver Tire 200. In discussions and names that were getting sort of tossed around back then, and it was totally just, just names being chucked. I know one of them was John Fleming's name came up, that it would be cool to see John Fleming in there, which didn't quite make sense because Fleming has his own gear, but wouldn't that be quite a thing?
Well, I had heard that he had liquidated a lot of his stuff over the winter.
Oh.
So I haven't talked to John yet, but I know a couple of parts were I was talking to some teams about them getting a couple of parts from John. So I don't know how much he liquidated, but I know he got rid of some extra parts over the wintertime.
Yeah. Well,
so maybe potentially that could be a name too.
Yeah.
I've heard the likes of Braden Langell's name being thrown around to go back up.
That was another one.
But Braden is doing quite well in the Legend car. Obviously, he did the Winter Nationals deal and stomped on everybody down there, picked up a few wins and won at Citrus County Speedway. So he's doing quite well himself in a Legend car. We can sit here all night and speculate names. We did it a couple of times at Kart Bond this year, trying to figure out who might be in that car, who might be a good fit for that car. Emily Meehan's driven for Steven Henderson before, so there was another name that was thrown out. She said no, so it's not her. But, you know, you can sit here and speculate all you want about who's going to be in that race car. There's a couple of names that I heard thrown around, but we haven't heard anybody for sure yet.
No. Corey Hall would be another one, wouldn't it?
He would be. I would think the association right now with King Racing might throw a curve into that, because I know he's been piecing away at a race car. I know he's driven a couple for Kyle Reed last season. So if we're talking about talent, Corey Hall would definitely be up there. I think it was funny, if this was a 2021 or a 2022 conversation, I'd throw Megan Perrott's name in the ring. I'd throw Sam Rogers' name in the ring. If you went into New Brunswick or PEI, there'd be a couple more there as well. Obviously, with this being a Nova Scotia car, you would think that they would have to work on the race car too.
Right.
Sam Rogers being a perfect one in a couple of years because he's from Lower Onslow. So we could always peer into the crystal ball if this was to come up. You know, 2 years down the road, we'd probably have three or four different names.
Yeah, and so much potential that is out there. It's going to be truly interesting to see how that all shakes out. Before we get really diving into the Pro Stock Tour stuff, I want to just go back a little bit to the trip down south. You were busy down there, not only doing the Legend Car stuff, but you got around to some different races, too.
Yeah, I got to kick back and actually enjoy some racing, which was kind of nice. We did the Showtime Speedway $15,000 to win Southern Figure Eight World Championships. That was a neat show. If you've never been to a Figure Eight show down there, whether it's there or the Indianapolis Speedrome, you really have to go down and do it. It's a different form of racing. Picture an outlaw wedge body sort of super late model with a wing on it going out and going through an X 400 times and winning $15,000 at the end.
It's
a really neat deal. The next day we had the Super Late Model 100. We had Bubba Pollard, Stephen Nassie, Michael Atwell. The list goes on and on of guys that were there that put on a great show, Jesse Dutilly. So that's always a great deal. So if you're down for Speed Weeks, I suggest staying the extra week and going to Showtime in Pinellas Park, because they've got four straight days of racing, and you're not going to miss anything down there. They've got literally almost every class you could find in Florida down there. They had paved and sprints on Thursday. It was a neat deal. We went to Clarksville, Tennessee, and did the Tuckasee Toilet Bowl Classic, always a favorite. It was cold in Tennessee when we were down there, so kudos to Brad Hockaday and William Scoggin, who pushed the show up a little bit to get us in under the daylight, or most that show under the daylight. And I got to go to a car store race, which is probably the highlight of it, because the last couple of years I've missed out on the season opener. So I got to go to Southern National and take that one in too.
How comparable is that Cars Tour now that you've been there, seen it for your own eyes? What is it compared to our Maritime Pro Stock Tour Parts for Trucks deal?
Well, you're looking at a super late model car, a full-blown super late model car, compared to maybe a pro late model that we would have on the Parts for Trucks Pro Stock Tour, and then the late model stock division as well. The late model stock division put on probably one of the best races that I've seen in 10, 15 years. Obviously, they were saving a little bit of tires because Southern National's a little difficult on tires when it comes to tire wear. But side-by-side for the 340-lap runs that they have, because they have the competition caution rule. If there's no caution within 40 laps, they throw a yellow flag. But it was great racing. It's great people. Chris Ragel does a great job putting that show together. But when you're sitting there in the stands, it's like you're at home almost at a short track race, because you see some really great racing, some really great personalities. Tony Stevens wasn't there on that weekend. He had to go to Kansas, so Tyler Williams pinched hit it for him. Jacqueline Drake, the whole crew put on a really phenomenal show. So if you're looking for, you know, maybe you want to go down south and take in some racing, I highly suggest the Solid Rock Carriers Car Store.
The late model stocks that race in North Carolina, Virginia, South Carolina, in that area, they do not get enough coverage of what they are. They are such a unique race car. When you look at them with a body off, like they resemble that of like a Pinty's car or like a heavier stock car, right?
Really?
Like they look like a late model because they've got an ABC body on them. They look like a super late model. There is a little bit of a difference behind them just because of the way that they mount the greenhouse. You know, if you set a late model stock side by side with a super late model, supers are mounted a little bit wider. You know, it's a little bit more sleek with a super late, just the way that everything it lays out with those cars. But the way that they race is just incredible. They're a truck arm car. And they always lack grip.
Is that what we've seen at Rockingham?
No, we've seen the UARA.
So oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yep. UARA was a little bit of a different deal again.
Right.
They were very similar to that of what races on the late model stock. They were closer to that than they are to a super late model.
Right.
But the late model stocks that race with the Cars Tour, you know, the big show, the 300 lapper at Martinsville, they have a big invitational style show at Myrtle Beach. There's a bunch of unique racetracks.
That's what JP from Peterborough gets into.
He races a pass super late
pass
model.
Yeah.
But
at Hickory.
As well, yeah. You know, with the super lates, he races pass, and then as well with, I think he's done a couple Cars Tour races. But the late model stocks are just a tremendous show. And if you are in that neck of the woods in, you know, Hickory or, you know, Orange County, any of the tracks down there, Myrtle Beach, Sobo, those style racetracks, an incredible, unique style of racing. As a late model guy, you sit in the grandstand and you watch them race. They don't race like a conventional late model just because they're heavier. You have to maintain the tire. They don't have any grip, and they just struggle nonstop with getting forward drive out of them. Then you watch. I would compare them very closely to that of the sportsmen that are on the East Coast.
At Riverside.
That's kind of how they race. They race with a little bit more tire, but they've got more horsepower. So, but watching the race that the sportsmen put on, would you agree with that, Tim?
Yeah, I would. It seemed like when we were watching the Cars Tour deal at Southern National, not comparing to what we would see at Riverside or Scotia, but it seems like with those shorter races, there's more of a sense of urgency, and that kind of breeds a couple of caution flags. But with what we saw at Southern National, we had those 340-lap breaks, or I think the last one was 35 laps before we saw an incident on the racetrack. But lots of patience, and those guys weren't afraid to go two and three wide and you know, throw it into the corner and swap a little paint. It was a great show overall. I can't wait to see the next one. I know they obviously had one scheduled for Hickory. That got canceled. The Orange County Speedway 30,000 to win race, that got canceled as well due to COVID-19 or postponed due to COVID-19. So whenever you do get back racing, if you're down in the Carolinas or you're down in that area, go out and check them out if you haven't already, because it's a great show. They
Absolutely.
Put on a great show.
Yeah, for sure. The super late models are equally as great, but I would class their super late model show, you know, equal to that of the CRA Tour, equal to that of the Blizzard Series, or what you see on the racetrack during speed weeks, right? Even Kern County and those types of things. Super lates are super lates, and they race like super lates.
Yeah.
But the NASCAR, you know, the NASCAR type late model stock is just something that they're cool to me. And I've just felt that way for a long period
of
time.
And they do get coverage on Pit Row TV, right?
Yes, they do.
Yep. Yeah, Pit Row TV, Cars Tour TV. I should mention as well with that super late model deal, they have the Rowdy Manufacturing Bonus, I believe it is. So some of those drivers that have won big races last year, Cassius Clark qualifies with his IWK 250 win. They get some extra money if they win the race. I know Matt Craig qualified for that when he won. Should mention as well, Austin McDonald ran as high as second at Southern National when he was down there. Might have overcooked the tires just a little bit because near the end of the race he fell back. But Austin had a great run going early in that one too. But you also mentioned too, Junior, that you know you get to see both with those Cars Tour races. Most of them you get to see both races in both divisions.
Exactly.
So that's what's great about that deal. They do have some races. I know Carteret is late model stock only. I think there's a couple in Virginia they run late model stock only, but for a number of those Cars Tour shows you get to see the super late models and the late model stocks. It's a great value, great deal if you're down there.
Oh, a great ticket value, honestly. Like when I went to Hickory, you know, I went to Orange County. Well, Bowman Gray's a little bit different. They've got their own, they're like a demolition derby
flavor.
Late model. Yeah.
Yeah.
it's a unique flavor of late model for sure. You know, when you look at Langley is another place. They run just late model stocks, but they do have a Cars Tour stop, I believe. Don't quote me on that, but I believe that they do. I love watching them for sure. And you know, another class that does not get that we don't talk about a whole lot, and that is the USAC style. Open wheel sprint cars that are down there. The open wheel, I'm thinking TBRA, but the sprint cars that they have down there, they're kind of like a three quarter scale Can-Am midget.
No, so and not the ones New Smyrna or used to run at New Smyrna.
No,
the 360 sprints.
No, those things are bad to the bone.
Oh yeah,
but those are full blown sprint cars.
Yeah, they are. These are like three quarter scale.
So like a Can-Am midget would be half scale, I would say, or even smaller than that. It's quarter scale.
Yeah.
These things are just smaller than a 360s TBRA sprint.
No. Yeah, yeah.
Man, did they put on a show? There was like 30 of them when I was there.
Yeah.
They were fast. My God, they were fast and loud. They put on a show for sure. But unique style of racing, man. If you guys have not been, you know, and I promote this for sure. If you guys have not been, you know, into the corridor of Carolina, you know, into South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, the local shows there are very unique.
Yeah.
They have a tremendous amount of fan base, and then they have a really obscure amount of personality at the racetracks. Like Bowman Gray has an awesome flavor, but Southern National, even the fans, people watching when you're there, there's diehard fans there, just like at a NASCAR Cup race.
Yeah.
And a little bit of a different flavor than what you see across Canada, across the northern United States, or even in the southern United States, like into Florida, Alabama. The corridor of the Carolina fan is they're a breed of their own.
Yeah, well, that's just, where you were hanging out, Tim, for what, a couple of weeks anyway.
Yeah, it was about a month or so. Got down there and really got to shake a little bit of this winter per se. And now we're back. And well, the plan was to go to the spring battle at Texas Motor Speedway, but obviously that's been scrapped. So there's no spring battle, at least at this point. It's postponed to a later date for the U.S. Legend Cars. We actually had seven teams from up here going down to compete in the Legend and Bandolero deal. So it's a heartbreaker for them because, you know, when they reschedule it, if it's in the middle of the season, they'll be racing here.
Yeah.
So they can't really do both. But, it was a great trip away. Looking forward for everything getting back to normal on that side. And waiting to hear what goes on with the U.S. Legend Cars Asphalt Match, which are in Las Vegas this year, and then the Road Course World Finals, which are at Atlanta Motorsports Park again. So that'll be the next Legend Car-related trip down. But now we get to focus on the season at home. I'm looking forward to this.
Absolutely. Got Pro Stock Tour schedule is out. It's been out for a little while now. Scotia Speed World schedule will come out. I haven't got a chance to look at it yet. Any surprises on that Scotia schedule?
The only major surprise would actually probably be the non-stock car show, which is the World Series of Monster Trucks, which is Mike James and the crew coming over to put on a monster truck show.
How cool is that? That's going to be dynamite.
Yeah, we've been working on that a little bit, or I know they've been working on it for a little bit. Mike's kind of kept me in the loop a little bit as to what they were doing. So that's the second weekend of June. That's the June 12 to 14 weekend. The Pro Stock Tour is off that weekend, so look for more information and on-sale dates and whatever else once we, you know, kind of weather a little bit of the storm that we're going through here now. But, that's great. Obviously, we have the four Pro Stock shows coming back, the 26th Annual Shriners Classic. And I don't know if Ken had this planned or not when he did the schedule, but the 26th Annual Shriners Classic is Friday, June 26th. So I don't know if he had that planned or not, but if he did, that's a good call on his end. Just the typical stuff. He's got a couple of kiddie ride nights, the Sportsman 100, obviously the 250-lap Pro Stock race in August. And then we finish off the season with the Atlantic Oliver Tire 200. So standard by Scotia Speed World, because it's the same deal, but there's all kinds of promotions. Fan Fest is July 24th. You can check it out at scotiaspeedworld.ca, or you can head over to timscorner.ca and check it out there, too.
Yeah, it's going to be dynamite stuff, Tim. I can't wait to get things fired up. We got our stuff all booked and ready to fly. Hopefully the plan stays right where it needs to be, and that's right on time. We'll see how we make out with that. But, Tim, this has been great catching up with you. I know you're going to have lots more on timscorner.ca as we get closer, and I know we'll get you back before that green flag flies, buddy.
I would assume that when the zero car driver is announced, I'm coming back, right?
Oh, yes.
No, yeah. No.
You're going to be front and center.
No,
right
no.
Here.
He had one job. He didn't bring us, he brought us meat on the bone. He didn't bring us the steak. We're going to have somebody else bring us the news.
He'll bring the whole cow. Like, you trust me. Timmy will have it.
I'm just playing with you, Tim.
I got a yes and a no. Does that mean Sue breaks the tie?
Yeah, she does.
Hey.
Good deal, Timmer.
Can Tim come back or no?
This is good, buddy. We got to thank you for your time. You stay out of trouble, and I know you'll keep picking away at it. We'll get some news.
I'm sure we will over the next couple of weeks. Been fun, guys. If we don't talk to you before, we'll talk to you on the May long weekend.
We will definitely do that. That is Tim Terry out on Canada's East Coast. We're going to hit our final break of the night. When we come back, open phone lines for you to call in. We got still some more time left here tonight on Racetime Radio.
You're a troublemaker. You're a troublemaker.
Hi, I'm Mike Sutton from the number 7 Wave Freight Super Late Model, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
You ain't nothing but a troublemaker, girl.
You had me hooked again from the minute you sat down.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
The NFL is on Sirius XM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the Sirius XM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and Sirius XM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on Sirius XM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90, is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV-TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV-TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now. Racetime Radio is back. Once again, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. Just had a unique follower there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Young lady's going to, she's Canadian, going to go on to American Idol.
Yes.
Yes. We're going to dig into that. Not tonight, but potentially next week. Another one that I wanted to let you know that I did reach out to, had a follower on Twitter wanting to hear from Ricky Weiss out in Manitoba. Ricky did a good job last year. He came away with the Rookie of the Year in the Wasota Late Model Series and just tearing the track up. We'd love to get Ricky on. I reached out to them and didn't hear anything back. So we'll continue to try and get Ricky on the program because we got people that want to hear from him. And I would suggest to you, the listeners, if there's someone you would like to hear from here on Racetime Radio, don't hesitate to reach out to us. And we'll see what we can do to make that come true, okay? So if you want to hear from somebody, give us a heads up, and we'll try and do our best to get that person on the air, and we can definitely talk racing with them.
For sure. It's, you know, one guy that we're going to have on the program, DJ talked about it a little bit, but Rick Verburn.
Yes.
Good friend of ours, Ricky. Good friend of Racetime Radio, long-term member of DJK Racing and you know, Andrew Ranger, going to be stepping up. He's going to be, those are big shoes to fill. Whitey has done that for a long period of time with Mopar in 27. And, you know, it's cool that we can finally talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, that Rick is going to be the crew chief for the 27 Mopar team. And, you know, it's selfish on my behalf, but it's cool that we can talk about it, you know,
yeah.
on here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's in talks over the winter and the off season. It's really cool to see somebody step up like that in motorsports. You know, it's difficult to get there. It's difficult to to navigate your way through and to, you know, become the crew chief for any top tier series, whether it be late model, whether it be NASCAR, whether it be, you know, Formula One. It's you're the leader of the team, and it's neat to see a new guy be the crew chief in the Pinty series. It's, you know, it's so often that crew chiefs are kind of like head coaches. You know, when you look at head coaches, a head coach will get fired from a team and or move on from a team and just move on to another team.
Sure.
You know, and be the head coach over there. You know, you don't necessarily see new head coaches step up. And, you know, with Rick Verburn, I think it's going to suit him like a glove.
Well, even being part of the team like Ricky has been,
exactly.
right? He's
yeah.
been part of the team, but not in the crew chief role.
Exactly.
This is brand
yep.
new. He's going to have stuff to learn.
Correct.
He's
yep.
going to have stuff to teach that he hasn't learned yet.
Absolutely. And he's going to have a new style,
and
right?
Knowing DJ, and I kid you not, back in 2010,
yep.
We started covering the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series at that time.
Yep.
And it was practice day at Delaware, brand new season.
Yep.
Went down and interviewed DJ, and Whitey was the new crew chief. He was just a kid.
Yeah, absolutely.
And look at him today.
Yep.
Sure. So DJ brought him through, taught him a pile,
yep.
and, you know, just like Whitey, he is a sponge.
Exactly.
And continued to learn and polish a craft, and now look at him.
Yep, yep.
So he's about to make some more Whiteys, and DJ's going to make some more Whiteys, and
yep,
it's going to
exactly.
be cool. It's going to be really cool.
It's a unique feeling heading into the 2020 season, for sure. And, you know, I'm so excited about it. Just can't, we can't get rid of this stuff fast enough. So, we got to get this stuff rolling and get this virus gone.
That's right. Let's bring up a caller on, let me see, East Coast, though. Look at number, that would be Kent. What's going on out there, buddy? How you doing?
Not too bad. Just staying home.
Yeah. Staying out of trouble and staying clean and healthy.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah, that's what you got to do.
I guess if we have any chance of getting on track, that's what we all need to do.
for sure.
Yes. Did you watch the iRacing, the NASCAR stuff today?
I did. There was NASCAR racing on TSN today.
Well, there was. That was
a repeat, I believe, of last year's Phoenix race?
Yes, yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
At least Fox, like last year we can sort of remember, if the regular Fox coverage was a repeat of the 1986 whatever. Now, that was cool to be able to watch because I would have only been 8 years old or 10 years old at that time. And probably wasn't even interested in cars yet. And then, of course, the iRacing.
Yeah. What did you think of it?
I thought it was pretty cool.
Yes.
I didn't know what it would be like. But, I was only able to watch it because of the Shaw Free Channel preview. Hopefully those all stay in place while we're underneath the orders to stay home with that channel and others. So we thank them for that.
Pretty handy having that channel, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
For sure.
Now, my question to Joe is, all of the current NASCAR tracks involved in iRacing? Are they available on iRacing?
To the best of my knowledge, Kent, all but a couple of the NASCAR tracks, the NASCAR Cup Series tracks, are scanned. I believe that all Cup Series tracks are scanned. I believe that there's a couple of the Xfinity or like, I don't believe Gateway's on there. There's a couple that aren't on there. That being said, you know, they're scanning them all the time, and they're adding new tracks all the time. And there's a big focus on adding short tracks, but there's a tremendous amount of short tracks on there. Like Sobo's on there, Langley, Southern National. There's a whole pile of tracks that are on there.
You might see where I'm going with this, but now, where you say NASCAR is committed to a full 36 race season.
Yeah.
We know that there is not enough off weekends to end up, say, even at Christmas time, because we're going to miss four races here or five races.
Yeah, if not more.
Would it ever be the option to start now and get this underway and...
No.
Some of the NASCAR guys were in on it today.
Yeah,
of names, I take it, weren't.
They couldn't do that for a number of reasons. The number one thing is contractually. They couldn't include the virtual world on the points fund side.
Right.
To loop it into the year, I don't foresee that happening. There's too many variables with it.
Talking there, they were saying, oh, look, all the sponsorship billboards are in the exact place they would be, as if they were in the exact view of on track and all this, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, it is a cool thought, but contractually it would never be allowed. But the way that they are talking is to go, with the full schedule and to loop in, a few three-day and 1 week shows, and then go from there. But I wish that they could do it that way, but I just don't
see them. If we lose as much, like if this don't get taken care of, and we don't get back on track till June, which you're talking,
then it becomes a totally different deal. Then it becomes a totally different deal. But if that's what happens, like if it pushes later than that, then there will be a delay and they won't be able to do all the races. But as it states right now, if it ends where they're forecasting, then that's where it ends. But we are out of time. We're top of the hour, and we're getting off the air here. So it was nice talking to you.
Stay safe and stay home and get get out there as soon as possible.
Absolutely. You want to believe it. Thanks, Kent. Thanks for calling in. And I know he'll be back with us next week. He'll jump back in there. I guarantee a big motorsports fan out there.
A huge motorsports fan. And thanks for the call tonight, Kent. Big as well. Seen photos. Gary Elliott's car is complete.
Oh,
it's ready to go. They did a great job. We couldn't not mention that.
That's right.
Gary Elliott's car looks amazing. The boys over at the 53 camp over at the Atlantic Tilt and Load shop did a great job changing that red over to green. Doesn't look like Christmas time.
No.
She's black and green and
yep.
mean. Gary Elliott, great job to the team. Looking forward to seeing you in the Pro Stock Tour. That's going to be really exciting as well. And thanks for everybody joining us tonight. Thanks, Tim, for bringing us sort of news. And we will catch you when we hear from the driver of the Zero car.
You want to believe it. Got to thank Sue right here in the Racetime Radio studio for hooking us up with everybody. And got to thank you all for tuning in to Racetime Radio. We will be back again next Sunday night at 6:45 Eastern Time at racetimeradio.com. And you will hear us on Sirius XM Channel 167. It will be a re-air. Just so you know that, we got to thank you all for tuning in. And hello and goodbye to absolutely everybody at the Performance Motorsport Network.com and 98.9 XFM out in Antigonish, Nova Scotia, Gearhead Country Radio, and all the different outlets. Be safe, everyone. Stay in, will you? Please stay in. Be safe. Thanks to all those frontline people that are taking care of us right now. And they're doing that, so let's do our part, and let's get rid of this virus, and we can go racing, okay? That does it for Junior. I'm Joe Chisholm. We will see you or hear from you next Sunday night right here on Racetime Radio.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.